The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 7th chapter. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Gathered in one place, Luke tells us about the disciples. That seems to be a pattern, don't you think? Those disciples had been gathered together in rooms away from people ever since the crucifixion. Even the resurrection appearances of Jesus couldn't seem to break this band of disciples, that bad habit of gathering together in rooms. One could almost get the impression that they didn't know what to do with themselves. One could almost think they were lost, directionless, perhaps even lacking purpose. Jesus, the one they followed, had been crucified, but more importantly, he had been raised from the dead. Plus, he had ascended to the Father, meaning he wasn't gone, he wasn't absent, but he had spread out. Indeed, he was very present, everywhere in fact, in water and bread and wine, when his promise of forgiveness was preached into those everyday common things. Indeed, Jesus in his word was on the loose, a certified, free-ranging Savior, the only Savior in fact. But his disciples certainly weren't free-ranging. They had been with him from the beginning, just as Jesus said. They had heard the truth about Jesus, yet they remained timid. What would it take for them to be the ones from whom flowed rivers of living water? What would it take to break them out of their cage? The answer is the Paraclete, the Advocate, the Counselor, whose name is Holy Spirit. And boy, did Jesus' disciples know that things had changed for them when he arrived, with a sound like a tornado in the room, and a word so powerful that it burned like wildfire shooting up a dry mountainside. God, the verb, showed up, and the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Does it mean to start uttering some gibberish that nobody understands? No. Does it mean to fall down and start rolling around on the floor in some kind of ecstatic seizure? No. Does it mean to blow on and spit at and slap the forehead of sick and crippled people to heal them? No. Does it mean to give money in hopes of getting twice as much back from God? No. Does it mean to sip Decon-spiked cocktails and dance around with rattlesnakes? No. Does it mean to become a super pious Christian, amazingly successful at cultivating virtue and avoiding vice? No. Does it mean to possess an increasing ability to navigate life with holy hunches, warm, fuzzy feelings, deep scriptural insight, and signs thought to be God winks? No. My goodness, I could go on telling you what it does not mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but you want your belly filled at some point today, preferably before the Baptists make it to the buffet ahead of you, don't you think? So what does it actually mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, those timid, directionless disciples give us the answer. Just look what they did. Filled with the Holy Spirit, they opened their mouths and let the gospel promise fly. And then, amazingly, people filled with the Holy Spirit were able to actually hear that the good news preached was for them. Even Peter, the denier of Christ to little girls, when filled with the Holy Spirit, stood up and thundered away with the gospel. And people filled with the Holy Spirit heard it. That's what God the Verb does. He makes mouths that would otherwise remain closed speak. And he makes ears that would otherwise remain closed hear the promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's his job. Open mouths and ears over and over and over. Well, here we are, gathered together in a room. There's no tornado sound and no wildfire breaking out, but there is a big mouth and a lot of ears. And this is what God the Verb considers a target-rich environment for testifying to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So come down, Holy Spirit, and do your thing. Advocate. Open ears in a way that only you can do. Sin, death, and the devil, they're prowling constantly, and these enemies never shut up, you know. There's only one thing that can save the promise of the gospel, that we can't have it without you. So, Holy Spirit, open my mouth in a way that only you can. You said your sons and daughters would preach, so here goes, folks. By the authority of Jesus Christ, I say to you that you are forgiven without condition by the Father for Christ's sake. Did you hear that? I said it in plain English. That is the promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the truth, and it's for you. Amen.